Welcome to North Star Physical Therapy Podcast. I'm Dr. Shirley North, and with over a decade of clinical expertise in the areas of pelvic floor conditions, lymphatic conditions, and chronic neurological diseases, I have a wealth of medical knowledge that I want to share with you all. In this podcast, I will answer the most common questions I receive from clients, family members, and fellow clinicians. Our purpose is not only to answer questions, but to educate you so you can make the best decision for your optimal health. This podcast is perfect to listen on your way home from work, while you're on your daily walk, or just taking 15 to 20 minutes for yourself. Again, welcome to North Star Physical Therapy Podcast, and get ready for us to guide you to optimal health. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Shirley North from North Star Physical Therapy. And today's episode is going to be something that we don't always like to talk about when we're with our provider, but we certainly need to make sure it's an important thing that we do. And that is our bowels. So we're going to talk about shit today. So what we're going to talk about today is all about constipation. And what are some quick fixes that you can implement if you are suffering from that, or if it's just like a really bad day, or if you're not really sure if you need to talk about it with a provider, if you're able to implement these things. So there are several things we want to consider when we're talking about constipation. Like, number one, what is the definition of constipation? Well, everybody is very different in this arena. So when we try and define it, really we're looking at what are the normal values or what are the normal frequency bouts of our bowels. And so research shows it can be anywhere from 3 times a day to 3 times a week. Now that is a huge variability, and we need to consider that and consider, what is our hydration like? What is our dietary, intake like? And what is our activity level like when that is happening? So whenever I am evaluating a client, I am always asking them, what is their frequency? What is their normal? Because I may be a once a day pooper, but maybe my husband is every other day. That doesn't mean he's constipated versus me. And there are some people that are considered constipated when they're not doing 3 times a day, right? So we want to consider somebody's normal value or normal bowel frequency. So that's really like a wide definition of constipation, but you really want to kind of consider what is their normal frequency. And that's where sometimes I also prescribe or recommend a bowel diary, not just the bladder side, but also the bowel side, to see what's going on and what the consistency is. So not just frequency, but also consistency. So we look at the Bristol stool scale, and that ranges from a 1, type 1, to type 7. And a normal bowel movement will kind of be that soft snake, that type 4. Type 3 to type 5, right? So 3, 4, and 5 are considered normal. 3 is maybe a little bit harder than that soft snake. And 5 might be a little bit looser than that soft snake. The lower the type number is, so type 1 and 2, those are going to be harder. Those are going to be like those pellets. And so that tells us there's some dehydration possibly going on. The higher number type, the type like 6 and 7, those are the really loose, watery stools. And so that's more of like a diarrhea. So even with a normal day, somebody's stool consistency can change. And then that's where we're looking at, let's put our detective hat on and figure out what's really going on. So real brief there, right? A general overview of stool consistency and stool frequency to really determine what your normal is, to really determine if you individually are constipated versus like somebody else's norm. Other things we want to consider Are how well hydrated are you? So again, if you're in that harder stool consistency, and type one, two, and maybe three, we're looking at, okay, how many ounces a day are you drinking of water? So that is where we really want to whip out our quick little calculator, right? And we want to say, really, the norm for hydration is your body weight in ounces, and that's how much water you should be consuming per day. And that water can be straight from, yes, water, water bottle. It can also come from maybe some fruits and vegetables as well, and so your normal diet intake. So that's where a lot of people got that 64-ounce thing, is because the majority of their water, or the majority of their hydration, came from just drinking water, but that's not necessarily the case for everybody. So again, you do need to individualize it to you. So quick math, if you weigh 200 pounds, that's about 100 ounces of water a day. So your body weight divided by two in ounces is the normal hydration intake that's recommended. So yes, a lot of people have their eyes wide open right now when I'm normally telling them that little statistic or that little formula there. But it's really, let's figure out where you are now and slowly increase your hydration intake to try to achieve that norm. Again, you do want to consider what medications you're on. If there is any cardiac issues and you have any kind of fluid restrictions, most of the time though, fluid restrictions stay within a liter, liter and a half, which is still a good bit of water. You also want to consider, right now we're recording this episode and it's the dead heat of summer. It's August. And so it gets really hot and we sweat and we lose a lot of water. So we try to maybe bump that up a little bit. So again, hydration really helps to soften that stool. So if someone's come in to me and they are constipated and they're like, yeah, my stools are just really, really hard, this is one of the first things we look at. Let's look, what's your hydration level like? And I have them go home with a hydration diary and just take a peek at where you're at now. And let's set some good achievable goals to get closer and closer to half your body weight in ounces and water a day to help soften up that stool in a more natural way and not have to pack on another, medication. We do want to factor in with that hydration that, there are the four C's. There's chocolate, citrus, caffeine, and carbonation. So that is not hydrating you. All those things actually do dehydrate you. So I say this to every single one of my clients. I do not want you to give up your little sweet tooth unless it's really overboard, right? I'm a parent of two and I really need my caffeine, but I stick to like one cup of coffee. But I'm also drinking a glass of water with that coffee. So I'm enjoying that intake of that caffeine. However, and then I'm also hydrating my body at the same time and trying to help dilute that so that diuretic doesn't also dry out my GI system, doesn't also dry out my stool, and therefore I can still have a good, healthy consistency of stool. We want to factor in alcohol as well. So alcohol is another diuretic, and so it will want to dehydrate you very quickly. We want to factor in, again, any of those other medications like the diuretics, like those water pills, the Lasix, things like that, that are made to kick your kidneys into overdrive and meant to empty you out. And so a lot of people don't hydrate to help replace that water. And so then they end up being dehydrated because of that medication. So, but then people are saying, well, but that diuretic is making me pee. I don't want to drink any more to make me pee even more. It's like, I totally understand, but your body is now getting dehydrated if you're not replacing it with the healthier water to help flush that out, because then your bladder might get irritated. And so that medication is just meant to help kick your kidneys, just to help empty out, your kidneys and your bladder to keep the flow going. But you do need to consider that hydration intake, even on those medications, and your healthcare provider can absolutely guide you with that. Some other considerations when we're talking about how to help, quote unquote, fix, the constipations without medications, are the dietary considerations. So we look at fiber, right? So when we have a really, really watery stool, that type 6 and 7 stool, I wanted people to look at what their fiber intake is like. And there are two big types of fiber. There's soluble fiber and insoluble fiber. Soluble fiber are those like fruits and vegetables and food that has a good amount of water intake within it. So think of anything like really juicy, and again, we're recording this in the summer, and so there's a lot of fruits and vegetables that are in season right now. And so that's a great way to get good water content, as well as that fiber nutrition to help gather up and soften up that bowel and easier to pass. Then there's insoluble fiber. So that is, we're looking at those fiber, those foods that are more like hard and fibrous, like asparagus and broccoli and things like that, that don't have a ton of water content naturally within them. So you do really want to have a good mixture. So that's why they say, like, yeah, if you have 3 to 5 servings of veggies every day, you're getting probably a good mix of that soluble and insoluble fiber that has the water content to soften up the stool, that also has the more fibrous content to help gather all the stool together. So you do want a little bit of both. You want something that will help gather that stool and then help soften it. And so that way, the stool and the bowel movement is a little bit easier to pass and you're not likely to be constipated. There are, things to consider too. Super sugary foods, really high in sugar content, tend to really water down the stool. There's things like magnesium supplements that really help with constipation. And of course, you always want to consult your primary care physician or osteopath for like what, like within your blood levels and what kind of dietary considerations to maybe implement that's not maybe a medication, but something more natural to help with stool passing. And so it's not so hard. We want to consider as that stool is passing, as it's gathering up, as it's softening up, as things are being absorbed throughout your GI tract. There's actually the legit anatomy of your colon that can play a role in feeling constipated or feeling really bloated, right? And so at the end of your long intestine or your colon, it's called the sigmoid colon. It's an S shape, part of it. It's all the way in your left side, and it shapes like an S and it goes back towards your anus. So actually, your colon goes from your right up over to the left and down, and then there's the S shape. Okay, and that S shape is actually quite amazing. It's actually like a natural kink, in that hose to help keep the stool on the inside, and so it will not just fall out, right? But that S shape is created by a ligament that goes that attaches right at the sacrum, right on that bony part way in the back and the bottom of your spine, and it helps you again kind of kink off the bottom part of your colon. And so we have to consider the anatomy so we know how to position ourselves on the toilet to then help release that kink a little bit through a natural sitting posture and therefore be able to pass that stool. So sometimes I have folks that all I have to do is work with them on proper hydration, maybe just a little bit of dietary considerations, but my main success was how they sit on the toilet. If you're able to position yourself correctly, you're able to unkink that hose, so to speak, help those pelvic floor muscles relax around your anus, and oh my God, now I'm not constipated. Now I don't need to bear down as much because my stool is coming out like normal consistency, but it's just hard for me to pass it. And wow, when I really positioned myself well, Now I can pass it. Now I'm not quote unquote constipated. So we look at that pelvic position on the toilet. We want to be able to have your feet and knees a little bit higher than your hips. So you'll see like the squatty potty kind of stuff, right? Where people are not sitting exactly at a 90-degree angle on the toilet, but their knees are a little bit higher than the level of their hips. And this is different for every person. Everybody's legs are different lengths, and every toilet seat height is actually a little bit different. So a normal toilet seat height is about 14 to 15 inches high. But now, like for example, in like facilities, or I'm seeing now more and more like restaurants are putting in elevated toilet seats. And so for someone like me who's only 5'3", these elevated toilet seats, my knees are like way lower than the level of my hips. And it's like, whoa, this is gonna make things a little bit interesting, to try to have a bowel movement out in public, in that on that toilet. So I really work a lot on where are those feet and hip position relationship. And what are some ways we can work around that, especially like within the home, and the different toilet seats there? Do we need to implement, anything like a little stool or a squatty potty? Or maybe someone's super tall and it's just way too low for them, and we maybe need to sit them up just a touch higher. So very different things there to consider, to work on that. We also want people to breathe, take a deep breath, sit down and relax. And when you do a nice deep breath inhale, you really inflate your belly like a balloon. And with that, when that happens, when you do that nice big inhale, your diaphragm actually relax, actually pushes like downward, and your pelvic floor muscles relax as well. So think about it. If you are able to be well hydrated, have some decent, dietary intake, you're understanding the anatomy of things and your sitting position is correct, and then you're able to just relax and breathe, you will have a much easier time passing that stool because it's probably going to be nice and soft. But even if it's maybe a little bit on the harder side, maybe that stage three stool level, you still will be able to pass that easily, not have to bear down so much either. I always say too, if you need a little bit of assistance there on the toilet, you can absolutely utilize a bowel massage technique. So you want to follow that anatomy of the colon from the bottom right side up to the right side of your ribs, over from right to left, and then left side of the ribs down towards the left hip. And you want to go in that motion, right lower, right upper, right to left upper, left upper to left lower. Okay, you want to do that bowel massage just in that direction. So we're telling the bowel we want to go this way, right? Not to back things up. Most of the times for folks that I am recommending a bowel massage, it's like right at that tail end. They might feel like really bloated, or they've been trying all day and they just need a little bit of external assistance there. There might also be a possible need for utilizing an external device, especially for those with a vagina that maybe had prolapse or having a little bit of difficulty or having like a rectocele. There are different devices out there that can work with a pelvic floor therapist to utilize that to literally help position the rectum that might be prolapsed, so that way the passage of that stool is a little bit easier upon exit. And really, if you have not made that bowel movement, if you are not taking that shit in 5 minutes, you need to get up and move around. Mobility really helps with the mobility of your stool. So if you are like a little couch potato, right, you're probably having maybe a hard time passing stool because you're not utilizing those bigger muscles around your abs and your glutes and your core and all of that. And that skeletal muscle helps stimulate the smooth muscle of your colon to get moving. So oftentimes I tell people, yeah, if you have been sitting there and you're doing everything recommended, you're hydrated, you have a good diet, you're in a good position, you're trying to relax, deep breath, and you like maybe felt something was there, you had that urge, and it's just not happening, pull up your pants, walk around for a little bit, and come back when that urge comes back. You just may not have been ready. You may have just needed to relax those pelvic floor muscles. That might have been that urge, that might have been that pressure you were feeling. And then once those muscles are able to relax, but then with that mobility of getting up and moving, that might help stimulate as well. So, a lot of information with today's episode here. Again, when you feel like you are constipated, absolutely consult your medical professional. You can absolutely consult a pelvic floor therapist. You want to consider any medications or dietary considerations or other medical diagnoses that might give rise to maybe this symptom. But there are all of these things, these seven things that we talked about today of doing little quick fixes without having to introduce another medication that you can safely do at home and see if that works for you. If you've tried these things, you're like, you know what, I'm trying these, I'm not really sure. Talk to your local pelvic floor physical therapist to see if there's anything else or maybe the position just wasn't quite right and there's things to improve there. So I wish you all the best. Make sure you don't, you're not full of shit. We want to make sure that you are able to successfully evacuate that stool. Stay healthy. Your bowels are extremely important. And until next time, guys.
Thank you all so much for listening to North Star Physical Therapy Podcast. Continue to follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Shirley North. Check out my website at www.northstardpt.com, or I encourage you to email me any other questions about these topics, and it can be featured on a future podcast at snorth@northstardpt.com. Again, thank you all so much, and thank you for letting North Star Physical Therapy be your guiding light to your optimal health.